When you think of the multitudes coming all the time, and of the time it takes to influence many of them, you can get some idea of the multitudes of teachers and missionaries necessary here. Evil spirits. When those who have led evil lives first realize that they have left the earth life, they are often very hard to manage because of their disappointment. They think of their earth life as gone forever, and they have no desire whatever for anything of a spiritual nature. There is nothing to live for, and yet they are alive. It is much the same as life imprisonment on earth, and knowing that it was impossible to get free. 80. Their disappointment often turns to rage, and they become for a time nothing but mad creatures. It is a very pitiful sight. Even when they begin to realize that their rage is useless, and they begin to listen to other spirits, it is still one of our most difficult tasks to arouse any ambition and get them started on the upward path. Then, if they have been the cause of much suffering on earth, they have to pass through the stage of making compensation in some form. How can you be happy when you know some have such difficult paths to tread, and that there are so many of them? We are happy because we can help, and also because we know that they will finally come into pure thought and kindly lives, and will shed their criminal desires as an individual might shed an old garment. How do they make compensation? We think they go back to earth at times and try to undo their wrongs. They try to put good or fortunate impulses in place of evil and cruel ones, and sometimes succeed in bringing joy to those they have injured. It doesn't sound much like heaven when you speak of criminals there. We are not talking of heaven when we speak of criminals. They are in the mental purgatories or spirit hells the old writers imagined. There is no burning fire and no eternal punishment, but their mental suffering and final atonement are very real. A Sunday sermon. We wish to affirm our belief that a new era, a new power, is coming to earth in the unfolding and renewing of spirit life through communication from this side. We are watching with longing eyes for nearness to us of earth friends, for renewing, or rather creating, spirit knowledge on that side. For we believe that if this life could be rightfully understood, and the knowledge acquired that the earth life is only a preparatory existence, that life would then become a more important, a more beautiful experience. Who is writing? We are to who loved, sorrowed, and were separated in our earth life, one of us proceeding by a long time the other into the spirit world. We were not believers in spirit communication there, and I, who came first, sadly wondering, and filled with false theories and spurious wisdom, could not find immediate joy. At last she came, and all sorrow disappeared in the complete happiness and companionship of this life. Today is Sunday. Can you not give me a little sermon from over there? Sunday. And a sermon. What should it be, what can it be, in this clear light, except truth, no other than truth, knowledge, great and glorious knowledge of this life and its never-ending joy. 81. Does never-ending joy grow a bit tiresome, if there is no change, no contrast? Never. An eternity of love, happiness, increasing wisdom, knowledge, with an unknown and limitless universe for study. Satiety? Weariness? No, never. We cannot express it in any earth language. One must be here to realize its perfect satisfaction. There was a pause of some moments. Finally Sis asked, is there anything more? Yes, more, and much more, if only we could give it to you in mortal language. But to your thought we can only convey the sense of never-ending contentment and progress. A spirit of the time of Muhammad came to me once to say that all this modern conception of heaven is wrong, that there is no ecstatic joy, etc. Yes, there may have been for him truth in those very words. For such souls may still be submerged in their own ignorance and false belief. Let me tell the world that human life in its short existence on earth may make its entrance here one of doubting ignorance, or even one of evil thought and feeling, for a time. This is true, because the divine law is one of personal freedom. Each soul can choose its own future. Each soul, still embedded in its human life, is choosing that future now. The old theologians, in their half-knowledge, describe this life of the human soul as either a harp-playing multitude about a golden throne, or a descent into a fiery burning hell to be suffered for evermore. But this was only a human, emotional effort to describe the indescribable. The life here is the reasonable result of one's choice of one's character. Helping others try for the best, always. And we believe the best is to acquire knowledge along spiritual lines. Live spiritually, think kindly, watch for opportunity to serve. There are so many who need help over there, and we here must work through human thought. Therefore we seek those who are ready to help us. In what way can we help? First of all, in our judgment, is the understanding of this life, not in the old ecstatic, symbolic way, but in the way of acquiring knowledge of the limitless opportunities for the human soul. We were not taught on earth that once past the gateway of death there was either opportunity or necessity for growth. Neither had we learned that service for others was one of the heavenly joys. Nor did we dream that through such service evil souls could be transformed into pure-hearted and wise-minded helpers. There must be an understanding of the wonderful possibilities here. Heaven is wide. We are not your usual friends. We came to this circle to watch its work, and we find it fine in every particular. We are of another group, and have for our special work, the teaching of new arrivals. 82. You can hardly imagine the necessity of bringing the mortal thought into harmony with the heavenly. The mortal powers are for mortal minds, and are no longer used here. We love the effort to broaden their knowledge and turn their mistaken ideas of this life into true perceptions. Many appear to consider that there is a burning hell somewhere on or beneath the boundary of our heavenly sphere, and can scarcely give up the idea of everlasting punishment. But the only hell is in the thought or soul of the sinner, and he must be cleansed of evil thought, must be taught the first essential quality of heavenly life, which is unselfish service, looking away from self, and growing persistent in the effort to help others. Heaven is wide and infinite in its possibilities. There are souls who do not come into realization of this life for a long time. Many seem to cherish the teachings, thoughts and tendencies of their earth lives, even when they are guided into better ones. But finally all go to their own place. That place may be with pure and beautiful spirits, or with the evil ones who will not or cannot forsake their sins for a time. Understanding life, the mystery of life there as well as here, is almost beyond understanding. But the more we study it, the clearer and more beautiful it grows. Do not be disheartened if you do not comprehend it in entirety. No one of us has arrived at that point yet. But take the blessings, yes, even the trials that come, knowing that all are in the way of education and progress. Can you not see already some of the beneficent effects of trial, disappointment and loss? The wicked ones have trials and sorrows also, but it seems to do them no good? Perhaps not as you see it. But sinners have to go through the fires of criminality, sin and sorrow sometimes before purification or advancement comes. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. That is progress, or that is the way to progress. No effort is lost. Unconsciousness after death. When death interrupts the action of the brain, all thought is then necessarily carried on by the spirit brain. It can sometimes do this at once, although usually only for a short time. In most cases it is unable to act at all for a while. Presumably this is because it has always relied on the assistance of the machinery of the material brain, and lacks experience in acting alone. This we think explains the first unconsciousness after death. After a time it receives additional power, as we all receive it, and then can function alone. It is often in a very dazed condition, however, for a longer or shorter period, and much lacking in reasoning powers. In addition, it may not have learned how to see and hear, thus still further limiting its action. So a spirit is frequently a very helpless being for a long time. It is when in this state that it can sometimes take possession again of a material brain and cause insanity. It is attracted by some force or impression, and clings to the new support like the proverbial drowning man catching at a straw. We do not think there are many cases where spirits willfully obsess a human. If they do, they are 83, correspondingly difficult to dislodge. Some persons on earth have difficulty in thinking of abstract subjects. Such spirits are longest in comprehending the use of spirit powers. They are not always to blame. Many times they have inherited dullness that can never be overcome there, and are always much slower here. It is not the same as being materially minded. Many bright, alert minds think only of a sense you are material life. They are delayed seriously here. Evidential tests and prophecies in speaking of an event of which we had just learned, we were surprised to find that our friends on that side already knew of it. I said, "Well, you missed a splendid test. Why did you not tell us about it?" I rather think that would have appealed to the public somewhat more than the messages. We know so surely of the life here that we forget the value of tests. We need someone to remind us constantly, for to us they seem foolish and unnecessary, like trying to tell one the sun is shining, when all can see the facts for themselves. Well, if there is anything to tell now, be sure that you do not overlook it. There are no more events of that kind in the near future, but perhaps you may see some changes. But I will not foretell these, you must wait and see for yourself. Just how much can you foretell? Not much. We can see circumstances and the probable results, and many are able to tell the future from them. But we are not gifted in that way. We have read of a number of prophecies, and have wondered how far such things were possible. Some seem able to prophesy, but it is a psychic gift, or possibly a keen intuition, that can foresee results from certain conditions. We are not creatures of fate. Set that down as a truth not to be denied. We are free to live our own lives. Religious service Mary gave us a very interesting message once concerning prayer. Can you also tell us something of your religious services? We have no church service, no creed, no rules, except the service of kindness and love. Our prayer is the spontaneous expression of joy and gratitude. But we constantly recognize an all-wise, all-loving, all-pervasive power, whom mortals call God. We recognize and serve this power by trying to conform our lives and actions to this protecting love. If this power so cares for us, why should we not use our own lesser powers for those whom we can help? We feel sure that this is the only acceptable worship of the Most High. By what name do you speak of this power? 84 No name other than the Most High, the Great First Cause, or Loving Power, or other expression of confidence and loving worship. Christ is the greatest expression of that confidence and love, and we look to Him as our teacher and elder brother. Cultivate the personal qualities of patience, gentleness and helpfulness, and you will be cultivating your own spirit life. Where are Mary and Dee? Out in space somewhere. I do not know their particular interest today, but there is always interest. Do not forget that. Interest enough for the whole 24 hours without sleep or rest? Yes, for the whole 24 hours of day, week, month, years, ages, eternity, without the unconsciousness you know as sleep. Spirit does not weary. It has its passive times, but they are fraught with renewed strength and blessing. A conception of God. We had asked some question concerning their conception of God, and were told, He is not limited to personality, even to the degree that we who are spirit are limited. If it were possible, I might explain a little more fully, but you could not at present understand. So try to be satisfied with the knowledge that God is present to the remotest part of the universe, and that God is a God of love and justice and mercy. Never doubt this. The more spiritual we become, the nearer we grow to that blessed spiritual presence, and the more nearly we approach, the more our spirits are filled with love, awe and reverence. Be content to serve with the love of God in your heart, and sometime your knowledge will be perfected. And again, it would be difficult for you to even realize the absolute existence of the Creator of all things. Material form is not His, nor perhaps spirit form even, as we know it. But His influence is everywhere. Be content until your soul is illumined with further understanding. We here do not see God as a person, or even as a spirit. That vision belongs to the spiritually advanced and illumined ones of higher spheres. A question had also been asked about the Lord's Prayer. Christ had this inspiration. It is one of the perfect ones, unalloyed by mortal thought. Use it, knowing that it does avail with the Father of us all, for God, the Father, is always near and always ready to help. We do know God, the Father, better than you, but He is a spirit so ethereal that we of the lower planes do not see Him. But we feel His influence far more than you, because we are further removed from the material senses. desire for recognition, we grow impatient here at times at the delay of Earth people in their recognition of our presence, especially by investigators whose word would have much authority if given in our support. We are given the world proof after proof, and yet they want still more. 85. We think that time has come for us to insist that they give their attention to the vast accumulation of evidence, and make some use of it. No honest investigator has really denied the reality of our manifestations. But it is so difficult to get them to publicly admit it. We are trying to use our influence now to have someone make a thorough analysis of the quantity of material that is in their hands, with the determination to show that there is sufficient to supply a firm foundation for a spiritistic belief. We said that Professor Richer had made some analysis of that kind, but had failed to arrive at a spiritistic belief. We know. We hoped he would be the one to do it. We think there are several others who will be amenable to our influence, and we hope for some show of success. Forgetting we were talking over the question of evidential matter, realizing that most evidence would be connected with material things, I thought it probable that under the conditions of the new life, they forgot many things of this life. Turning to the pencil, it wrote, "We are listening. We do forget our earth lives, with all the appointments we treasured while there. You can hardly realize the complete transfer of interest when the change is made from the earth life to the spirit existence. We are hardly conscious of the earth life, for the change in every particular is so great, and every moment here is so filled with joy, or study, or care for others, we do forget everything except the love we bear for the dear ones there. Selfishness and sin. The one truth we are all trying to send is the influence the mortal life has on its immortal existence. We wish the earth people to know that there is no hell except that which the mind has created within itself. We wish them to know that the condition of the wicked here is one of unhappiness and misery, and that only they themselves can release them from the mental torture of their own creating. Only a complete abandonment of sin and selfishness can open the doors to heavenly happiness. Do you imagine that an earthly life of selfishness and sin can suddenly change into a life of purity and love? Let us assure you that no such change can occur, but must be worked out patiently and slowly by the sinner himself. And it may be years, or lifetimes, or even centuries, before the awakened one can replace sin and selfishness with loving service for others. Make this clear if you can, and help mortals to awake to the truth that selfishness is the foundation of all sin, and must be overcome before one can enter into the joy of heavenly life. The communicating circle. Does your circle have other interests than communicating? 86. Yes, of course. You don't think we are bothering the old earth to speak to us all the time, do you? We do call ourselves a communicating circle, but we meet for all sorts of discussions, and also for just friendly social life, visiting, you might call it. We separate at times and go our own various ways, and then meet again and relate our experiences, ask for advice perhaps, or maybe have some humorous story of adventure to relate. Do you believe this last? It doesn't sound much like the old orthodox idea of heaven. Not much it doesn't. And we are glad. Heaven would scarcely be a place of endless enjoyment for us if psalm singing and harp playing were to occupy an eternity of time. Can you tell us what you have been doing today? Yes, we would like to, if we can measure a day in your kind of time. We went out in space with a teacher for a time, then returned and found a wonderful concert taking place in the Temple of Music. Then we went to look up some friends, making calls, you would say, and afterwards listened to a lecture on, on etheric, thought waves. This took most of the time until we got your call and came here. How did you get the call? Just a thought call. It comes like an impression on the brain. How many are here? Not all the circle. Many were away with other occupations or with other friends. So chiefly your most intimate friends are here. Last century experiments, we were talking with a man who had been on that side for many years, and knowing that he had been concerned with the wave of psychic phenomena that spread over the country some 75 years ago, we asked him to tell us about it. He replied, there was much real mediumship, but all along material lines. I was interested for a long time, but it did not lead to any better or higher life, and did not impress me as being at all heavenly, so I gave it up at last. No one knew the cause of the manifestations, and all were hunting for some explanation. I could not see any good arriving from it, and I tried to account for it in some logical material way. But it never was explained satisfactorily to me until I came here, and could see for myself just the influences and experiences that could go forth from earthbound spirits on this plane. I think I have been told that at times you heard sounds like the steps of a dancer, a man whom you had known. It was more of an impersonation. I cannot explain it just as I wish. But it was not my friend, only an imitation by the medium of some characteristic of his. He had not at that time come into a very advanced state, but could possibly have sent an impression of himself to the medium. I have not learned the truth, as he has advanced to a higher plane now, and I have not talked with him about this appearance. 87 There seems to be a hint here that some physical manifestations may not be directly caused by spirit. They may be caused by suggestions from a spirit source, and carried out unconsciously by the medium. Death from accident. In talking with a man who had died from an accident, we asked if he could tell us of his passing. Immediately Sissy's hand and pencil were shaken violently. She experienced a cramping pain, and an impression of gloom. After a little the pencil wrote with emphasis, "That is awful to remember even now. It happened so suddenly, and I was alone and helpless. It was so terrible that the suffering came with me to this side. But it is all over long ago. My spirit finally came into peace, and I was met and cared for with great tenderness, and my life now is so happy that I forget the rest. But the suffering I endured made me the special care of friends who tried in every way to blot out the memory of the pain and agony, and lead me into peace and happiness. You have asked of the occupations of the angelic ones here. Can you not see here one more service in caring for such spirits? The earth memory still clings to them for a time, and therefore they are the more tenderly cared for and led away from all painful thoughts. Is there compensation for such suffering? All pain is lost at last in the final peace. But if there are those who caused the pain, I mean the deliberately cruel ones, their atonement here is sometimes through much pain and suffering. I meant compensation for accidental suffering. The suffering of earth is so short compared with the eternity of bliss, that all thoughts of compensation are lost in the very reality. Our first experiences, four of us were together one evening, and we asked Mary if she could tell us what would be our first experiences if we should suddenly come there together from any cause. That is a question not easily answered. First, the unconscious period, which might be long or short according to the spiritual advancement of each. Then the awakening, and then, the beauty, the loveliness, and the surprise. We think then a quiet enjoyment, a quiet receptivity, the while your spirits were becoming accustomed to the light and glory. We know that you would soon gladly take up to occupations the one of learning the laws of spirit life, the accustoming your souls to the new atmosphere. And the second, the eagerness for two things to send back word to those on earth who loved you, that heaven is heaven after all, and then soon the law of spirit life would possess you, and study for improvement, for knowledge of this wonderful life, and then the immediate desire to draw toward you, and towards heavenly delight, those whom you loved on earth. 88 Who was writing that? Dee wrote this time, for her own experiences came back to her suddenly, and the glad surprise which possessed her when she first became conscious. Their usual lives, you know, our lives here have become for us the usual, all its brightness, its knowledge, its wonder, its variety, its purity, and, yes, its holiness. Only do not think of that word in its usual acceptance. But all these are our usual life. What we can do, a friend with us asked them to tell us the best way to do our part in making the truth known. You may find many things to do. It is thought here that most people on earth are too afraid of adopting the idea of a spiritual life. We think that this fear is not warranted. It is not necessary to parade such virtues. If one will only live a life of helpfulness, of thought for others, of kindness wherever possible, he has made a great beginning. And if many could do this, The world would soon notice the result, and the attention then attracted would not be annoying. From this would come the publicity that is necessary for the spread of any new thought or idea. It should not be a very disagreeable task to experiment. When a few can be near enough to each other to bring the sense of support to the actions of each, then the greatest difficulty is overcome. We do not look for great things to be accomplished in a short time. We do feel that a beginning should be made, with a definite object in view, and we are willing to await results. We believe that each true-hearted believer in the nearness of spirit life, and who comprehends the beauty of this life, may become a center from which may radiate a power for good that will be far greater than you at present realize. This subject was brought to our attention at a later date when some strangers wrote, "We wish to tell you of our thoughts. We hope for greater activity among the believers in spirit life. Can you not form some thought union? Just what do you mean by that?" We mean that those who are with us in desire can form a thought union, rather, a purpose to accentuate that thought until it becomes action. We are among those who on earth did not believe in this further life. We lived a material existence in a material world, and looked forward to the long, long, unbroken sleep. When we came here we did pass into a long sleep, but awakened to conditions and possibilities for which we were not prepared, and another long time of unhappiness awaited us before we began to see the orderliness of spirit progression. Then we began, perhaps you might call it the first letter of the spiritual alphabet. And from the first small letter has come the whole perfect and beautiful story. But years have been wasted, worse than wasted, because we absorbed the time and power of beautiful spirits who might have long been in happier pursuits. So, for the human being himself, and for the beautiful spirit that might be called to watch and teach the stupid soul, I ask more light over there, more preaching of good tidings, more gathering together of the needy unspiritual ones for teaching and leading, that they themselves may become a power for good. 89. Try for power. Try for unity. What is it the Bible says about when two or three are gathered together, etc.? Try it. Organize, teach and preach the beautiful truth of immortal life. And Mary added, "We are so desirous of having these truths put before the world that we cannot rest content until we see some concerted effort made to influence others." Spirit sight. Ordinarily the presence of other people interferes with passivity sufficiently to prevent writing, or at least good writing. But one evening some intimate friends were with us, and we asked Mary if their presence was detrimental. Mary says, "It is an aid, and if you could continue for a time we think it will be a very great help. It takes time to harmonize the forces of several persons, but your friends will be easy to bring into perfect harmony." She was also asked if they could see the material things of earth sufficiently to make traveling about the earth's surface a pleasure. It is not easy. Some seem to have the ability to see their intimate friends and their surroundings, especially when they first arrive here. It is a special gift if they are able to continue. In a few cases the gift has continued, and so a few spirits can see the material things of earth quite well. We ourselves see very little of it, not enough to get any pleasure traveling about its surface. It is a gift that can be cultivated with some. But here again, very few do so, because the attractions here are so much greater that there is little incentive. What do you do there when things go wrong, and you get blue and discouraged? It doesn't happen. We do sometimes wish we had more power, that our influence could travel further, or that we ourselves were of greater influence. But this is always met by our guides or helpers by encouraging words and helpful and loving advice. Mary's message: we are here and anxious to write. Why anxious? Because we wish to send the truth of this life to earth-born friends, that their influence may go out to others and win many souls to heavenly life. Do you see that unbelief is increasing on earth, that multitudes are following after the gods of riches, pleasures, and power? We here are asked to use our influence to help stem the tide of atheism, of wickedness, of worship of wealth, power and position. These things are in the way of pure spiritual life and truth. They are bearing down upon the earth with malicious force, and the wicked ones here are glad that this is so. 90. Mary. That is very emphatic for you. Well, We have just had a lesson from one of the great souls here, that we must bend our energies to help the cause of truth, purity and righteousness on earth, and we turn to you to help. It is so difficult. What can we do? Wait, and the knowledge will come to you. Make the world believe in this life as a continuation of that,